Good day, and welcome to the iPros Clinical Strategies to Improve Patient Outcomes conference call. This call is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to Ms. Christine Siegel. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to this, the first clinical identified participant group call, and we've also welcomed other home health agencies throughout the state. And I want to also welcome some hospital partners that we have on the call that we invited. We're doing a little bit of cross-setting training when we are able, so I want to welcome them also. And then this call is being taped, and it will be available on our website. And all of the materials that will be referenced during the call have been posted on the website, as well as anybody who had registered prior to the call, a copy of the PowerPoints have been sent to you via email. And I want to also remind the Clinical Identified Participant Group's members that are on the line to please stay on, because after this call, we will have about a half an hour of some discussion with both Sarah and I. And I want to welcome also Sarah. She's here with me. This is the first of our clinical strategies to improve patient outcomes call. And the first is focused on strategies to improve communication with physicians. Quality Insights of Pennsylvania, our home health QIO Support Center, or kiosk, convened a panel of national physician leaders to assist in identifying physician strategies to reduce avoidable acute care hospitalizations. They cited several contributing factors, one being ineffective communication between the home care staff and the physician during the time the patient was receiving home care services and during the handoff or transition of a patient between one provider setting to another. Clear communication between the case manager and the physician is critical to ensure the patient's home care services are effective and safe. Almost every agency that we have talked with about reducing avoidable hospitalizations has told us that their physicians are the problem. So we think that this is universal with every agency. And the three main comments that we hear most often are, they tell us just to send the patient to the ER when we call with a problem. They don't return our phone calls. I have trouble finding out the correct physician to call for my patient, who is seen by three or more physicians. And physicians, the physician does not always do what I think is necessary. Another phenomena that makes communication difficult is during the patient's transition from hospital to home. Excuse me. A hospitalist may have been caring for the patient while in the hospital, and now the care will be coordinated by the patient's primary physician. Very often, it is a home care nurse who is the first person to notify the primary care physician that the patient was hospitalized and now has returned home and requires home care services. I just want to review, we're on the second slide, some of the objectives for this teleconference. And we're going to describe physician-nurse communication patterns, historically as well as currently, discuss how SBAR can improve communication, the SBAR technique, and introduce some new tools to assist agencies with physician communication. We're on the third slide now, if you want to go to the next slide. We learned during the acute care hospital pilot that we did with home health agencies in the spring of 2005 that 66.43% of home care episodes that ended with the patient being rehospitalized also had emergent care. We also learned that 83.73% of home care episodes that included the patient receiving emergent care ended with a rehospitalization. And this is from OASIS data from calendar year 2003. So you can see there is an emergent care, acute care hospitalization link. Patients with chronic illnesses many times see more than one physician. They have a primary physician as well as most likely one or two disease-specific specialists. And then there are usually the hospitalists when the patient is in the hospital. Patient-related communication between these physicians does not always occur smoothly and occurs intermittently. Very often it is the patient and family who is expected to share any changes in treatment between these physicians and between office visits. The home care case manager can be the patient's advocate and can assist in bridging these communication gaps. There is a difference in the perceptions of teamwork between nurses and physicians. Nurses do not necessarily see the care environment as collaborative, and physicians tend to view the care environment as fairly collaborative. Historically, nurses have been taught that there's a hierarchy in regard to physicians, and in this environment, nurses do not feel like they're a collaborative partner. It doesn't foster teamwork. This is where effective leadership is instrumental. Leadership can level the playing field and promote the concept that every team member has an important role to play in preventing harm and providing safe, effective care. They can support the clinician by encouraging the nurse to speak up when they've identified a problem with the patient and being persistent until the problem is satisfactorily resolved. Leaders can create a framework that encourages clinicians to be assertive and stop the process if they feel that the patient may be harmed or has the potential to be harmed due to a process failure. It is important for all team members to feel comfortable to participate and feel like a valuable team member. Collaborative relationships are built on mutual respect and trust. Go to the next slide. So why do we need the physician anyway? Well, home health agencies live in a regulatory environment with rules to follow, and physicians and nurses are required to communicate and coordinate patient services. Physicians also must review and sign the plan of care. Nurses must notify the physician when there's a change in patient's condition and document those verbal orders and send them for the physician's signature. And the clinician must reevaluate the patient's needs on a regular basis. We often forget that the physician is a member of the interdisciplinary team, and it's important to keep him informed of changes in patient's condition. The complexity of patient's care these days is very difficult for one person to coordinate. It's important to keep the physician up to date with the patient's current status. If you go to the next slide. There are different factors that affect the way the nurse and the physician communicate. Nurses are taught to be descriptive and to provide a narrative of the patient's status and situation. Physicians are taught to solve problems. They want to know just the facts about the patient. You can see that these communication styles are very different, and where a physician might get frustrated with a nurse's lengthy description of a patient's condition. It is also important for the nurse to create a shared mental model or a situational awareness with the physician so he or she knows the urgency of the patient's condition when she calls. By creating a common mental model, everyone is on the same page. Other factors that can affect communication between the nurse and the physician are related to human factors or related to human performance or how people perform. It's how the individual perceives different relationships. These factors are related to gender, national culture, established hierarchy or power between nurses and physicians that I alluded to before, as well as prior relationships. We all know physicians that can be difficult to approach because of certain behaviors and prior problems with another patient situation. When a nurse calls a physician to report a patient problem, she may not feel comfortable to clearly state the seriousness of the patient's condition and hope the physician hopes that when she does explain the condition, that the physician will pick up on the urgency in her tone of voice. When this occurs, the nurse is using the hint and hope approach. It means we hint to the physician what the patient's current status is and hope they pick up the seriousness of the patient's condition or the need for a change in treatment to prevent a deterioration in patient status. There needs to be a paradigm shift or a transformation in the communication patterns. The next slide. Physicians have to rely on the home care nurse's assessment skills and their judgment for accurate information. I've often said that the home care nurse is the physician's eyes and ears concerning what is occurring in the patient's home. The physician relies on the nurse to see the initial, often subtle changes in the patient's condition that warrants notification and change in patient treatment before a crisis occurs or a rehospitalization. It is important to establish with the physician patient parameters related to when it's necessary to contact him or her. The quality of the contact with the physician is critical. It's important to be brief, but provide accurate information and enough information so the physician can make a decision. In the March 2006 issue of Home Healthcare Nurse magazine, there is an excellent article that stresses the importance of providing complete, accurate patient information from a physician's perspective. He gives some very good real-life examples in that article. Some agencies have found that providing scripts for nurses to use when they call in a patient's problem to the physician have assisted them in organizing and providing pertinent information. If you go to the next slide, here's a list of common communication barriers that nurses and physicians experience on a daily basis that cause frustration and a breakdown in communication. Very often, there are plain telephone tags. They're leaving messages and then waiting for a telephone call back, or when the physician calls the office and asks for that nurse has left and is in the field. Physicians are not familiar with what a home care agency or what a home care nurse can do, and very often they may just say, send them to the ER, because they don't know the nurse can possibly see that patient in the afternoon or see that patient the next day. Incomplete messages taken by office staff or incomplete information provided by the home care clinician is frustrating. When I was a supervisor, I remember receiving calls from physicians who were responding to a nurse's call about a patient and that was seen that day. Very often, the nurse had called me to let me know what the problem was and that the physician would be calling me, so I was really clueless. I always asked if there was a message that the nurse left for him or her, and I hoped that all the information was there that was needed for the physician to make a decision, and I also hoped that the physician was responding with what the nurses needed. Sometimes it matched and sometimes it didn't and caused extra phone calls. Failure of the physician to return telephone calls is also a problem. The physician's perception that the call from the home care nurse is often that it might be an interruption to their day or to their regular schedule, rather than a need that a patient requires service or assistance. Many physicians perceive that home care nurses or home care patients are too time intensive. They cause too many problems, so they see them as a frustration. If you go to the next slide. To alleviate these barriers, the nurse can ask, what is the best way or the best time to contact you or your office? Is it by fax or telephone or email, or should I page you? Ask if they are standing orders or protocols for specific groups of patients. I know that some orthopedic physicians have post-op protocols for total hip patients that they use, and I know that some offices have a regular cycle that they for patients that, who are on Coumadin for follow-up protons. It's essential to begin developing a relationship if the nurse is not familiar with that physician or with that physician's office, and consistently to provide accurate information so an environment of trust can be established. If you go on the next slide. One way to begin shifting the nurse physician communication paradigm is to begin using the SBAR technique. The SBAR technique is a communication tool that was developed by the U.S. Navy. It was an attempt to standardize communication between enlisted men and their commanders in a high-risk situation. SBAR is an example of a situational briefing model for clear, effective communication. The SBAR process incorporates critical thinking and organization of information. And it's an acronym that stands for situation, for S, B is background, A is assessment, and R is recommendation. If you look on the Institute for Healthcare Improvement's website, you can see that this technique is currently being used in the hospital setting with good results and favorable responses from physicians. That means that some physicians that you begin using this technique with will already be familiar and exposed to it, and you may see a favorable response from them. So why are we using SBAR? Well, SBAR is similar to the SOAP model of charting or documentation that has been taught in nursing and also medical schools. It provides the answers to the three main questions that physicians want to know about. What is the problem? What do you want me to do? And when do I have to respond? It is a standardized approach that promotes efficient transfer of key information between physicians, nurses, and also other members of the healthcare team. SBAR creates an environment that allows the clinician to express her concerns. So let's now look at the specific process. If you have a patient who has a problem and you need to call the physician, when you're going to use the SBAR approach, prior to calling, you need to have or gather some critical information. You need to know the admitting diagnosis for the patient, the start of care date, and the patient's age or their date of birth. It's helpful also to have a list of current medications along with their allergies and recent lab values if that would be appropriate. You need to let the physician know that if you have visited the patient for assess or if you are currently in the patient's home and you need a response quickly. Most recent vital signs, blood sugars, any oximetry levels, or if you're weighing the patient, all of those facts are helpful. And also a DNR status if the patient is a DNR. If the patient is not familiar to you, it's also a good idea to, if you're in the patient's home, call the supervisor or call the office to find out if they could review some prior progress notes with you so you kind of know what has happened to the patient and why this is different. So let's go over the specific steps. So if you go to the next slide, we're on S for situation. What you want to do first is identify yourself and what home health agency you're from, and whether you are in the patient's home, and describe the patient's situation briefly, when the problem started and its severity. So, for example, you can say, "Hi, Dr. Smith, I'm Susan Jones from CDF Home Health Agency. I'm visiting Mrs. Blue today, and her wound has increased redness and more drainage." If you go to the next slide, this is B, and provide a little bit of the background, and this is where your gathered information will help you. And you're providing the physician with the pertinent background information related to the problem. You can see the list of information that you've gathered. So for an example, Mrs. Blue was admitted to our agency 3 days ago with an open wound from a post-op wound infection, status post gallbladder surgery. She's a 67-year-old lady, and her temperature today is 100.2. Her pulse is 90, respirations 20. Blood pressure is 120 over 74. She is not on any other medications except a multivitamin with iron, but she is allergic to penicillin. And we have been performing daily dressing changes using a tender wet dressing. If you go to the next slide, which is the assessment step, and what you want to do is you want to relay what your impression of the situation is. So I think Mrs. Blue has the initial signs of a wound infection. And then next slide. And then here is the last step is when the nurse will be providing the physician with a recommendation or what she would like to see from the physician. And you can also, it's helpful to describe what you're able to do as well as when you're able to revisit the patient. And let the physician know that you'll call back and let them know the patient's response to whatever is ordered. And also, if you will require an extra skilled nursing visit, you will want to ask for that. So an example would be, I think Mrs. Blue needs an antibiotic ordered. She was on Keflex 500 milligrams twice a day while she was in the hospital. And also, could I culture the wound while I'm here? I will visit her tomorrow and call you with an update. So you've kind of given an overview of what you're able to do. And you also want to make sure to leave your name and a contact and a callback number. And if you want them to call back the agency, I also recommend that you call your supervisor and let them know that Dr. Smith will be calling. So let's go through another exercise briefly. I'll just read this slide. Mr. Nelson is a 71-year-old male with hypertension and COPD. The patient is complaining of being tired and weak for the past 2 days. And after the nurse assesses the patient, she determines that Mr. Nelson has symptoms she determines that the patient is having some syncope with sudden movements and that it's after starting a new medication. The blood pressure is 102 over 60 in the right arm and 106 over 62 in the left. It's 98 over 52 in the left standing, and his pulse is 72, and respirations 24. And the previous vital signs are, as you can see on the slide, 164 over 82 at the right, 158 over 80 to the left. Pulse is 74, and respirations 22. So, and the nurse has discovered that the patient's new medication was filled at a different pharmacy and was really the same antihypertensive medication that he was taking before, So this is how that nurse can call the physician and make him aware of the situation. Dr. Smith, this is Nancy Nurse from ABC Home Care. I am calling about Mr. James Nelson, your 71-year-old patient that is now having signs and symptoms of syncope. And if you go to the next slide and look at the background, you can say ABC Home Health has been seeing Mr. Nelson for the past 3 weeks for exacerbation of hypertension. His previous vital signs were 164 over 82 to the right and 158 over 80 to the left, pulse of 74 and respirations of 22. Mr. Nelson has been explaining of lightheadedness, weakness, and syncope with sudden movement. Vital signs today were 102 over 60, and you can see the vital signs. The nurse discovered patient is taking a double dose of his hypertensive medication twice a day for the past 4 days by accident. So at the next slide, you can see the assessment. Patient accidentally had a refill. You can explain the patient. This is what your impression is. Patient accidentally had a refill of the same antihypertensive filled at another pharmacy, and he is hypotensive from the medication error. And your recommendation to the physician, I would like to hold his antihypertensive medication until tomorrow and schedule 2 extra skilled nursing visits starting tomorrow to recheck his blood pressure and for medication teaching. Can I have parameters when to restart the medication? And you also may add, when would you like a phone call back? Now, if SBAR doesn't work for some reason with the physician and you don't get the response you need, you can use the CUSP program. And that was developed by United Airlines. And what the CUSP program does, it immediately informs the physician of the urgency or the seriousness of the problem. And CUSP stands for concerned, uncomfortable, and unsafe. The United Airlines used this when there was a crisis situation, and what they would realize is when somebody said, "I'm concerned," they knew that it was a serious situation, and they needed to stop and listen to what was happening. So the CUSP program helps the staff be assertive when the original SBAR did not obtain the outcome the nurse expected or feels necessary. So if you say, "I'm concerned," or "I'm uncomfortable," or "this is an unsafe situation," that kind of gets the attention of the physician. So if you go to the next slide, you can see the assertion model that is used. You get the person's attention. You can express your concern very briefly, state the problem, and then you propose an action and reach a decision. So you can say, statements like, "I need you to see the physician within the next 24 hours," or "I'm concerned about a wound infection in the patient's leg, and I think that you need to see the patient." Or, "The patient needs a dressing procedure. The wound is not healing. Needs a change in the dressing procedure." It means, "Listen to me." And as I said before, some agencies have developed scripts for nurses to use that have helped them to be a little bit more assertive and to gather their thoughts and provide them with all the information in front of them communicate to the physician. So let's look at why assertion is so hard between the nurse and the physician. Well, again, I reviewed before the hierarchy between the physician and nurse. Also, the thought of the physician being a position of power and distance. Also, the lack of common mental model, or that the physician isn't on the same page or doesn't perceive the problem the same way the nurse has seen it. And, of course, nobody likes to look stupid in front of anything, in front of anybody, and you may not be right about, with your assessment. But that's okay, you know. You're stating your opinion and what you think is needed. And I'm sure that you can probably think of some other reasons why it's so hard to be assertive with physicians. But you want to make sure it's important to have sound physician and nurse communication, because that is the cornerstone of safe, effective, and efficient patient care. Now, we sent to all the agencies our liaisons within the agencies, a physician communication toolkit. And in the toolkit, there were some documents that we had developed that would assist the agency in working or developing a plan to improve their communication with the physicians. If you have that in front of you, or if you don't, I just want to go through those materials that were in the packet. The first was the physician's role in reducing avoidable hospitalizations, and that was really a summary of collective responses and issues related to reducing avoidable rehospitalizations from a physician expert panel that the kiosk had coordinated that I alluded to at the very beginning. And it's a very nice summary of what possible solutions as well as different issues and why those issues are there. So I recommend that you review that. On the right side of the of the physician communication packet, there was an example of an SBAR documentation form. What we have done is we have kind of given you a step-by-step procedure of what you need when you call the physician using the SBAR technique. And you can use this as a guide and also as a documentation tool to be put in the patient's record. And then we've also developed a standardized fact statement to the physician. And at the top, we have put whether the, you know, whether the problem is urgent or whether it is whether it's just for informational purposes. But you can see across the top, there's a check mark for that, as well as our, you know, the agency. There's a space for the agency logo and telephone number and fax number. But it also gives you some of the prompts for stating the problem, providing the background assessment and recommendation. And it also allows the physician to write their physician orders down and then fax it back to the home health agency, which is helpful because you can, if you call the physician and leave a message, you can say that you'll fax something over for them to refer to, and then they can just write on answer on that fax and fax it back to you. And by doing that, you have streamlined some communication. We have also developed, I think next in the packet, you'll find a physician's letter that home health agencies can use to notify them of your involvement with iPRO and the Acute Care Hospitalization Initiative, and also what has been done about what we're currently doing about identifying patients who are high risk for hospitalization and implementing a care plan. So some of the interventions that agencies are using, and then that your office is open and that we're trying to prevent avoidable rehospitalizations. And it's just a sample. Please feel free to adapt or change this letter as you see, you know, as you want to adapt to your agency. And then lastly, we provide a guide to improving physician relationships, kind of like a recipe on how we're recommending that you prepare within your agency to identify the physicians who you want to target and maybe send the letter to improve your relationship with them. And also how to plan before your, do you want to make a marketing call or do you just want to do a telephone call? And also how to outline your presentation. But it's important, so we provide these tools to assist you, and hopefully you'll find that these are helpful.
They're posted to the website.
And they're also posted to the website, which Sarah reminded me, under our home health section and under our resources. So, Lisa, would you like to open the lines for any questions or comments?
Thank you. The question and answer session will be done electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please do so by pressing star followed by the digit 1 on your touch-tone telephone. Keep in mind if you're on a speakerphone to make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please do so by pressing star 1. And we'll pause for just a moment.
And Chris, while we're pausing for questions, I just want to share, last week I was down in Baltimore at a CMS meeting and had the opportunity to talk with some of the other states that are in the home health teams on those states that are working on the same initiative. And a few of those states have rolled out SBAR as we are to our agencies. And in the audience, there were was a physician that was an emergency department physician and also a physician that was a primary care physician. And the response from both of those physicians with regards to SBAR and the use of SBAR was overwhelming. They thought it was an excellent tool. And just as Chris mentioned, we think differently from a nurse-physician perspective. And from their perspectives as physicians, the SBAR and the factual information that's provided by it is exactly what they're looking for. And the emergency department physician had shared how valuable this type of information would be if a home health nurse does refer a patient to the emergency department for a situation, to even, as the emergency department physician, receive a call from the agency to know that they're taking care of the patient, this is why they're sending them. And in his response, he said if he knew that this type of care was available and the patient was able to go back to that, it may prevent an avoidable hospitalization rather than just an admitting the patient for observation. So from the physician perspective, very well received. And also from a home health agency perspective, a few of the QIOs had shared comments from their home health agencies that had implemented SBAR. Some of them were not only using it for physician communication, but they were using it for home health aid communication to the nurse or the nurse to the case manager, so that all the factual information was there, and they were having success with that. And lastly, what was shared by some of the QIOs, again from their agencies, is that they found this useful for both sort of situations with nurses. One had shared that there was a seasoned nurse that one particular physician had a difficulty with, because when she called, he wasn't receiving the information he actually needed to make a decision. And once they started using SBAR, that physician actually called the agency and said, "This is wonderful. I received a call from the nurse, and I had the complete facts and understood everything and understood the situation and could make a decision." It is also useful that the feedback we got was for the newer nurses, the nurses that are coming to your agencies that may not have a home care background, and helping them get together the facts, as Chris mentioned, to be able to call the physician and really give him or her the information that is actually needed. So the responses from the other QIOs from their agencies was really positive, and as I mentioned, also from the physicians in the group, which we thought was excellent. So with that, Lisa, I'll let you open up the lines for the questions.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. And it does appear we have no questions at this time. I'd like to turn the call back over to you, Ms. Siegel, for any closing remarks.
Okay. I want to thank everybody for attending the call. Also want to alert you to the fact that there have been some extra tools posted on MedQuick from the home health kiosk, because what they have found is that SBAR, using the SBAR technique, has improved. They can use that to improve communication throughout their agency. So they have rolled out a whole really wealth of examples of how to use SBAR with the physical therapist, the medical social worker, the occupational therapist, how the whole healthcare team can improve communication by the use of SBAR. Sarah and I plan to send this out to agencies in the future, but we didn't want to overwhelm you with any more information than just the current information with the communication between the physician.
And we really encourage you to think about the SBAR and really to think about how you can implement that within your agencies. Really, the goals of these calls are to offer new techniques to you that might improve the work that you're doing with acute care hospitalization. We know the physician communication issue is one of the biggest barriers and one of the hardest things to tackle. So we wanted to give you some preliminary tools to assist you. But really think about using, for all of these calls that we're doing with you, some of the ideas that are shared, and especially with the SBAR, because it is something that is easily implemented within your staff, is easily trained, provide training for your staff. And as I mentioned, is having success with agencies in some of the other states that are utilizing it. So we really encourage you to take it and run with it. And if whatever we can do to help you, we would be more than happy to do that.
And pardon the interruption, we do have a question from Kathy Schreibner with Twin Tier Home Health.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Kathy.
We have a question about when you call the physician's office and you don't talk to either a nurse or the physician, which is most often the case, you're talking to a medical office assistant, something like that, and either they don't take down all the information, or sometimes you think they're taking it down and they don't, and then you get the call back from the nurse in the office that says, you called, what did you need? It's a lot of things get lost in translation because of the staff that are on the other end of the phone. Are there any hints on how we could improve that communication?
Well, I think that that's where leadership comes in, Kathy, and I think that when you start looking at how you want to approach physicians in improving the communication between the home health agency and that physician, that you can target as that one of the areas that your nurses are having some difficulty with, that when they're calling that physician's office, that if they don't talk to a nurse or don't talk to the physician, that many times the message is not getting through. And is there maybe one person that agency could, or that your agency could ask for that would provide, you know, take down the message?
Okay, yeah, because in physicians' offices where there is a specific contact person, our communication does seem to be better.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then some agencies have had success with the fax back form, and I
right.
know that's difficult when you're in the home to use that, but the feedback we've gotten from some of our New York State agencies that have used the fax form is that all the facts are there, especially if you use the SBAR form, all the facts are there so that, you know, what's communicated is accurate and it's the accurate information, and the physician can just scan it.
Right, and we do use faxes a fair amount, but like you say, you can't really do that from the home, which is kind of the first line of contact. And so usually our fax is either for a kind of an update, a weekly update, or when we don't hear back from the physician's office and we want to make sure they have all the needed information to make the decision.
Mm-hmm.
Often it's in more of a follow-up role.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions, Lisa?
No, it appears we have no further questions.
Okay. Well, I want to thank everybody for attending the call. I hope the information has been helpful. And, you know, Sarah and I are always available.